It is an absolute pleasure to welcome the man what knows every V's is a breeze for Steve Barnes, the Hong Kong visa geezer. How are you?
That was a nifty bit of alliteration there, Mr. Whalen.
Yeah, I tried. As I always say, if you've got any problems with your visa status, you probably think you're a bit embarrassed to tell him because it's so small and piddling, but it will be important and likely Steve's going to know the answer, won't you? Likely.
Well, I would hope so.
Likely,
yeah.
Join us on Facebook Live. That's the perfect place for you to put up any queries and stuff you've got. Or if you want it anonymous, just email me, morningbrew@rthk.hk. So, Steve, welcome back.
Been a while.
It's been going so well all these years. He's been saying, but the immigration guys, they're fair and square and they try their hardest. But we've heard some rumours to the contrary these days.
Well, I'm not suggesting that they're not trying their hardest.
I didn't mean you. Yeah, well, put the lawyer away.
Or the immigration department themselves, I would say, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, last year the Audit Commission reported on the performance of the immigration department in how the department were implementing their duties as regards foreign nationals, talents, entrepreneurs and professionals. And they looked at the performance of the department between 2005 and 2016.
Yeah.
And essentially they got slammed in 8 key areas. And as a result of that, the Immigration Department have had to change the way that they operate because the recommendations for change which Audit Commission made to the government were completely accepted by the government immediately. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the last 12 months, the way that the Immigration Department now approach applications has changed significantly, procedurally at least. And
what are the key areas?
Well, okay. The Immigration Department on the website set the expectation that applications are going to essentially get considered and approved within 4 weeks.
Right.
But what's really happening is that if you look at the language, it says within 4 weeks of having received all the documentation that is needed. So the way it's presently happening is that, say, an employment visa, which is a very large part of our practice, you submit your application, you'll get what is essentially a sort of a computer-generated receipt within about 10 days.
Okay.
And then an officer who's tasked with actually doing the assessment on the application is not actually picking it up for 4 weeks. So when they pick it up at 4 weeks, they look at it. If everything that they need to give full and due consideration to the application is there at that point in time, it will get approved right pretty quickly thereafter and fall within the four-week frame. However, 50% of applications end up needing to be dealt with via additional requisition. So the Immigration Department are writing to applicants and want further and better particulars to, you know, give effect to the application. So working to rule now, what happens is that the Immigration Department have waited 4 weeks and they've written to the applicant, and then they give you 2 weeks within which to reply. And even if you replied the very next day, the Immigration Department are not going to pick up the application until that reply date has passed.
Working to rule usually has a reason. Do you know what it is?
Just efficiencies and being able to utilise existing resources. And frankly, the Immigration Department used to exercise quite a bit of discretion. And because of the Audit Commission's criticism of the way that they were operating, they've decided, well, you know, sometimes discretion isn't the better part of valour.
Yeah.
And now they're playing it strictly by the book. So if you've waited those 2 weeks to have the officer pick up the file again and look at it, you've now got another 4 weeks to wait because conceptually they should have all the information that they need to give full and due consideration to the application within the following 4 weeks. So
but
the 4 weeks
immediately.
So the 4 weeks.
No, you hang on. No, you hang on. Joe Punter questionnaire, Steve. Seriously, though. You're saying within 4 weeks of getting all the paperwork.
Yeah.
But it strikes me that they actually are doing what it says on the tin because it's up to us to give them all the right paperwork.
Absolutely. But the problem is that the language on the website kind of sets people's expectations.
Yeah.
It's a four-week process. The Immigration Department have changed the way they operate because they were criticised previously. Discretion that we're utilising for efficiency purposes, in my experience, has now essentially gone out the window. And what should be an expected four-week timeline is taking between 10 and 12 weeks. So I've spent 4 or 5 months fending off the reasonable concerns of clients. Is that why is it taking so long to get my case approved?
So, well, what's your sort of bog standard, if you like? If supposing it's just exactly this, what would your first reply to your client be?
To say it's
deep breath.
deep breath. You're not being picked on. There's no negative connotations to be imputed from the fact it's taking so long. There is a reason for it. And it's exacerbated by the fact that we're also in the summer rush. So essentially between June and September, the Immigration Department are inundated with loads and loads of applications. And it just takes them longer to do things.
I've got quite a long email here from a listener who, I'll try and precise it, he's been on this scheme where somebody in his family is a Hong Kong belonger. Mm. He's kind of half this and half that, right? So basically, he's on this scheme that qualified him to work, and he finishes up his... It took ages, basically. And he finished up his email by saying, this four-week thing is basically what rolled me over. And I think it took him a long, long time, yeah. Not just 4 weeks. And that meant he couldn't work.
Yeah, until you get approved. If the permissions that you're seeking avail work, you can't take up employment until your visa's been activated. So yeah. Approved and activated, yeah. Do you know which type of scheme?
I can't remember what it's called.
Well, there's a few. So the second generation scheme.
Something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of words here, but basically, yeah. Is it a fact, though, that when... Okay, they think they're doing certain people in the community a favour, you know, certain people who are in between the gaps, like this fellow, but in fact... They're not at all.
Well, that's true. I mean, at the end of the day, what's happening now is they're just playing it by the book, right? And if they play it by the book, then the immigration department have always got a reasonable sort of response to criticism for perhaps not doing their duties properly.
Bit more here. It says, ask him why they can't open the process to submitting 2 months or 3 months beforehand.
I don't know which scheme he's talking about, but in principle, actually, it's really all about timing, right?
Yeah.
So if you have an expectation that you need your visa by Christmas, then you should be sticking your application in sort of, you know, no later than by September, I would say October.
Right. So usually when a body, whoever they might be, the tax boys or whoever, does something akin to what you're talking about, it's because they perhaps feel that people have been taking advantage of something along the way, so they've got to tighten up.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. But in this instance, I think you can ascribe directly the change in the way the Immigration Department operate to the Audit Commission report.
Yeah. So what else is afoot there? I mean, what are the implications of this thing you've just talked about?
It just takes longer. People's expectations need to be managed properly.
Would it be better if they just changed the wording? Because they will do what they will do, surely.
Yeah, I mean, look... You know, the Immigration Department's website is designed to inform and the Immigration Department's job is to inform and decide. It's not their job to advise. So the website kind of, you know, plays the function of giving sufficient information out to allow the process to go. If you look at our websites, of course, what we're doing is we're inputting our experience our experience on
the
process and adds another sort of different level of information that's available to applicants that are, you know, making the decisions. But there's always room for improvement in the Immigration Department's websites. There's so much.
It strikes me if they just said 4 weeks from when we receive all of your paperwork.
Well, that's all they have to write. I mean, it says that, but it's not exactly in bold right at the very top, and everybody sort of has this expectation. Yeah, 4 weeks later, I'll get my visa and I'll be on my way.
What kind of visas are we talking about here? Are there specific ones that you've dealt with?
It's really just sort of the entire gamut of visas for foreign nationals that want to come and live and work in Hong Kong. It's just taking longer because of the application of that process now.
Is there a notion, I mean, I'm asking all the questions you've heard before, is there a notion that they've tightened up the processes because we've got a massive influx of people?
No.
Nothing like that?
No. They're just working to rule.
Working to rule. Because, as I say, it makes you think that somebody's taken the mickey somewhere along the line. So, up with that, we will not put, kind of thing.
Look, it used to be that, you know, the Immigration Department were really quite flexible. And in fairness to them, you know, if you ask them to make a special effort on a case that's really dragging on for one reason or another, depending on the officers, you know, in the main, they'll respond positively. But they, you know, the immigration officers are busy and they don't like us calling and nagging and wanting to, you know, have updates on
stuff. I'm surprised you get through
enough. Well, you know, because we receive it from clients as well, so I know what it feels like. But at the end of the day, you know, clients are asking for this information. They're completely real.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing because their expectations have been set in a particular way.
Gotcha. Well, if you've got any questions for Steve, now's the time. If you want it anonymously, just morningbrew@rthk.hk. Or stick it up on our Facebook page, because then other people might benefit from your question. Have you got anything special to say about same-sex dependent visas? Is anything that...
Nothing new's come up since we talked about this last, but I keep telling clients anecdotally that you have had some experience with a same-sex partner couple who lived here continuously for 7 years.
Oh, mates of mine, yeah.
Under
the
prolonged visitor visa. And the application for the trailing spouse who held the prolonged visitor visa for the 7 years, for the right of well, that application, I think you explained to me that went on to get approved, right?
Well, I thought it was so cool because it was what... You did call it pipe and slippers, didn't you?
Pipe and slippers.
I mean, back in the day, the agreement was, and it was very tacitly done for them, fair play, because you don't expect bodies here to kind of finagle a little bit. They basically said, because partner A has a highfalutin job, partner B, okay, no worries. Well, husband or, you know, no worries, but he cannot work. Fair play. But then 7 years goes by and partner B, who cannot work, is eligible for a permanent ID card, just like you and I have, and he got one. There was absolutely nothing to stop him getting
it. Yeah, well, see, on the face of it, he's not eligible because he's held visitor visas for 7 years. And
this I don't know.
The test for a ride of a boat is you need to have a back-to-back residence visa for 7 years.
Yeah. Hard and fast plastic in his wallet.
So what that ultimately, I think, boils down to is, if it ever gets litigated, is, you know, can you now, after having been in Hong Kong for 7 years, holding a mere visitor visa, in those circumstances, can you then impute into that the law has now been adjusted to accommodate people who are holding visitor visas rather than residence visas? Well, indeed, yeah.
But the irony is the bloke doesn't want a job now.
Well, yeah. And, of course, whenever the Immigration Department do this, they issue the approvals with express language, the fact that no precedent is being created by this is, you know, a sort of a decision that's been made on the unique circumstances before us at this time.
Yeah. To their credit, there was no suggestion of them to keep it quiet. Not even the most subtle suggestion of you better not keep, you know.
Well, I haven't put an application in like that, and I've no idea, you know, how such a case would be received. And if there's any listeners that find themselves in that exact same situation and they want us to have a pop at it for them for free, I'll be happy to do it, just to see if we can learn something
as a test case.
Yeah.
I mean, really interesting. Is there any notion that this is a bit of a test case, do you think? Or others, surely?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a test case. I think that, you know, this couple have had a punt at it, and they may have had some legal advice that has gone into sort of perhaps not intimidate the Immigration Department, because they're not intimidatable, but perhaps put a little bit of pressure on them and thought, well, hang on, there's enough going on in this sort of realm right now. We don't want any more unnecessary challenges to deal with. Let's just accept the argument on this occasion and approve it in this instance and deny that it's actually going to lead to any sort of precedent going forward.
See, if you did want to get really sort of stickly about this one, the government, a government department, has gone against, if you like, the general mantra of the government, because they don't accept X, Y, and Z, do they?
Indeed. But bearing in mind that, you know, the Director of Immigration has got all the discretionary power to be able to make decisions basically to the effect that he wants to, because he's got all the power. And if it's a positive act of discretion like we've seen in this case, then, you know, obviously these people have got a great result.
Does that mean if you use the word on a document, if you use the word discretionary, you cannot use the word precedent?
The power of the immigration, sorry, the Director of Immigration is devolved from the Immigration Ordinance. Immigration Ordinance gives them that power. And so, irrespective of, you know, how we might couch the language, it's going to be an act of discretion. And I think they're just reinforcing the idea that if we're considering this positively in your favour at this time, then just because another set of circumstances that are like this comes to us in the future, we're not going to suggest to you that you're going to be able to refer to that approval as justification for your approval.
If you were to look across the board at your clients, do you get mostly success stories and the odd horror story?
In which reason?
Well, just in general. I mean, you're like, done. They're happy. They've got what they needed.
Oh, 95% of the cases it goes through like that. And then sometimes just cases just become a horror story and they just go on and on and on and on. I've got one that's been going on for about 11 months now and it's just driving me nuts.
Yeah. The old chestnut here, of course, is domestic helper status leading to the permanent residency.
Which ain't going to happen. Judicial precedent on that. So
that keeps coming back, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's judicial. It's been judicially decided now, so that one's closed.
People tend to get a bit up in arms about this one, I think, you know, for obvious reasons. Do people still come back to you with that kind of query?
No, I think in the foreign domestic helper community now, it's generally sort of accepted that, you know, the lot hasn't improved and as a result of recent court actions, so it's sort of business as usual.
If you or I went to a country where we're not, nationals, to do a job and it was stated, you can only come here and work, would we expect to become, if we felt like it down the line, would it be unreasonable for them to say, no, you can't become a resident?
No, because your expectations have been set from the outset as to what privileges you gain by being availed of the immigration status on offer that allows you to come and work in Hong Kong. And if you accept those terms, that should be it.
Buyer beware sort of
thing. Yeah, I mean, there are so many jurisdictions that you simply can't go on to qualify for permanent residency through the passage of time and having been resident there. You know, you need to qualify under all kinds of other sort of criteria. So Hong Kong looks quite liberal in that respect, in actual fact.
A few more minutes left with Steve Barnes, the Hong Kong visa geezer. He's pretty much bound to know the answer to your question if you've got one. Morningbrew@rthk.hk. Any other areas of general stuff? I mean, you've told me about quality migrants and this, that and the other over the years. Anything worth knowing?
Yeah, I mean, one other thing that has transpired since I saw you last is that it used to be the case, and this is a very complicated area, but if you were the offspring of a Chinese permanent resident that was born overseas, a Hong Kong permanent resident that you were born overseas, it used to be that you could apply for permanent residency essentially by basis of descent from your Hong Kong Chinese permanent resident parents. But because the fact that you were born overseas and the circumstances of the parents, immigration circumstances of the parents overseas at the time, that applicant could never get right of abode by descent. So the immigration department would offer a consolation prize. They would deny the right of abode application, but they would go on to grant right to land, which is functionally equivalent to right of abode, but just a couple of notches shorter.
Right, let's do some hellos. We've got our Morning Brew Facebook Live going. I want to say hi to Andy. Oh, how are you? He said, regards to you both. Thanks very much, you two. Susan and Paul are having a little chat here. Paul says, ask him why my PR application is taking over 3 months. And she says, well, they're working to rule, Paul. Why might his PR application be taking over 3 months? We're assuming it's legal.
Well, okay. It could be A, that they're working to rule. B, there could be issues in the application that mean the Immigration Department need to get to the bottom of something.
That drugs conviction?
Well, I mean, there could be a criminal record that they want to get to the bottom of.
Yeah.
There could have been an inadvertent breach of conditions of stay during the earlier part of the 7 years that's come to light during the sort of diligence part of the right of abode application, and that will need investigating.
Gotcha.
There may have been an extended period of time away from Hong Kong during the 7 years.
Or they might be busy.
Well,
I mean, as simple as that.
Well, that's it. And of course,
working to rule.
Being busy, yeah. So there's all kinds of reasons. But 3 months is a long time, so it might be worthwhile calling the officer and asking if, you know, there's something awry or if there's documents missing or something along those lines.
What would a normal time frame be for doing PR?
6 weeks.
Really?
6 weeks, yeah.
We're talking double this.
Yeah, but that's not surprising.
I mean, is there a possibility that there's a ghost in the machine and he really ought to get in touch with them and say, hello, I'm here? You never know. Stuff gets lost or...
Absolutely. Stuff gets lost all the time. So without a doubt, after 3 months, I'd definitely call the officer and say, have you got everything you need? Is there anything that I can help you with to be more efficient in this application? See what they say.
Joking aside, I hope that helps, Paul. Okay, any other little bones being thrown?
No, just to finish the point about... not being granted the right to land any longer, which was the consolation prize for those Chinese offspring of Hong Kong permanent residents born overseas. And we discovered that the right to land is no longer being granted in those circumstances. What's happening is that the candidates who are university degree holders are being encouraged to make applications under the admission scheme for second generation Chinese permanent residents.
This is probably what I was on about with the guy that wrote me the email earlier on.
Could quite well be, Phil.
Yeah. Okay, then. It looks like no more's more. Steve, thanks very much for coming. Hopefully it'll be a bit sooner before, but he's a busy boy. And see you very soon. Stephen Barnes, the Hong Kong visa.